Officials in New York City have been trying to shrink their large complex of jails on Rikers Island, but they cannot seem to shrink it fast enough. On a single day earlier this month, there were 29 uses of force, a dozen fights among inmates, and 9 assaults on jail employees. Now, a federal judge is considering taking control of the jail complex away from City Hall. Here to explain is Ruvane Blau, a reporter for the nonprofit news website The City and co-author of Rikers and Oral History. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So can you give us a sense of what life is like inside Rikers, both for correction officers and for the people being held there?
It's a pretty bleak situation. I mean, it's never been a great place to be. Correction officials point out that, taking away someone's civil liberty is really, kind of punishment enough. And, the advocates point that out as well. But, on top of it, I mean, everything from the food to medical care to hygiene, it's just a chaos, a mess. Overall, there has been some slight improvements over the last year, but it's been, relatively incremental.
And why does it seem to be so violent there? Like, there seems like there's a lot of violence at Rikers. Is that exceptional for a prison facility or a jail facility?
That it's just kind of baked in, like the violence is baked in. And over the years, especially because literally people will make tools like weapons out of the building that's kind of falling apart. And it's like everything, the training, the officers have been for years, they weren't really trained very much. They were kind of trained on the job. The officers don't get the tools. About 50% of the population has some level of mental illness diagnosis, including 16% with a serious mental illness diagnosis. And the officers are just not trained mental health professionals. And, the number of mental health professionals there is kind of small. And, you talk to any mental health professional and they'll tell you, putting someone who's suffering from some type of illness like that it's the worst place they can possibly be.
So during a court hearing last week, the correction commissioner said that deaths have been dropping, 7 at the facility so far this year, and that's about a third fewer than at similarly sized jails across the country. You don't want to minimize any death, but is progress being made? Is that progress?
So the city's argument is, look, we made some improvements. The last year there was 19 deaths of detainees. It was the highest rate in over 25 years. This year it's been 7 so far, which is clearly a decrease. They're saying there's been, somewhat of a reduction in stabbings and slashings. It's about 350. But the federal monitor, the Legal Aid Society, the feds, and all the advocates and multiple elected officials are saying, look, even these slight gradual improvements, it's not enough. Like, it's still worse than it was 8 years ago when this entire system was put into a federal monitorship. And it's just not enough. You need to do more. And the only thing that we see that can work is this receiver.
So a federal monitor has been in place for the past 8 years. What's the difference between a federal monitor and a receiver?
A receiver would have potentially extraordinary powers. They would not be obligated to follow any of the collective bargaining agreements negotiated by the unions. So they could literally just change how staff is controlled, what their shifts are looking like, how they're disciplined. I mean, they would have an incredible, kind of opportunity to just literally almost start from scratch. They could revamp training. They would clearly need to get some level of buy-in from, the labor groups. But ultimately, the power would completely rest on a federal receiver. A monitor, in contrast, is somebody who's overseeing the jail, has oversight over the jail, but is not making any decisions on the ground. The federal monitor now, his name is Steve Martin. He's been there in place for 8 years. He's based in Texas. And he essentially issues these reports with recommendations and details about what's been going on and how the city has kind of responded to these reports and how the jails are doing. But he doesn't have the power to literally go in there and actually make them happen himself.
The city council and the previous mayor, Bill de Blasio, agreed to shut Rikers down by 2027. Why aren't advocates waiting till that happens instead of arguing over a federal receiver? Or is there concern that Rikers isn't going to be shut down anytime soon?
So the law actually says that by 2027, a jail cannot operate on Rikers Island. One of the challenges is that for that to happen, the population has to be decreased. I think it's like 3,500 or something like that. Right now, it's a little over 6,000. And it's actually been going up slightly during the Adams administration. So that's number one. As far as why they're calling for receivership now, it's one of those things where it's like you got to walk and chew gum at the same time. There are 6,000 people that are currently locked up in these facilities. And for them, it's an emergency. And they're at risk of like being stabbed and slashed. 350 they're on pace for this year. I mean, there's basically, almost one a day at, in these facilities.
I mean, it sounded like the judge in the case, Laura Taylor Swain, was leaning toward appointing a receiver. Do we know when she would make that decision?
It's a long process. I mean, so essentially, just opening the window for the sides to make the argument for and against a receiver is a huge deal, which he has agreed to. But it's almost kind of like this another court case that plays out. They're going to make the arguments in briefs. It's going to come up again at a hearing. And ultimately, she's going to have to make a decision in that moment. Legal experts who I've talked to who have been involved in other receiverships have all said that, look, this is, likely months away, if not, even next summer.
That's Ruvane Blau, a reporter for the nonprofit news website, The City. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.